Marry a Stranger by Susan Barry. Part of the Romance by Ida Pollock Collection. Narrated by Catherine Moran for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. The clock on the handsome marble mantelpiece chimed the silvery half hour, and Stacy looked at it with a feeling of uneasiness at her heart. For the last time she had looked at it, it had been 6 o'clock, and now it was 6:30, and the house was almost oppressively silent. Not that the house of a Harley Street consultant was ever likely to be disturbed by very much noise, but the silence which prevailed had in it an ingredient which was inclined to play upon her nerves, and made her wonder whether she had been forgotten, or whether the house was empty. The thick carpets, of course, helped to muffle all sound, and so did the severe velour hangings. She looked through the window at the houses opposite, and the sight of their gleaming knockers and brass plates reminded her that it was here, in this mecca of fashionable medicine, that her father had once hoped to set up his brass plate and take his place amongst the eminent physicians and surgeons of his day. But unhappily, her father had lived with his dream until he died, and it had never materialized. He had never left the unpretentious white house in the tiny Herefordshire village where he had been born, and where his father before him had cared for the local sick. Both were now buried beside the square-towered Norman church, which cast its beneficent shadow across the village green and the houses clustered round it, and the White House was awaiting its new occupant and his wife, who were to take up the threads of their existence in one of the loveliest and most peaceful rural settings in all England. Stacy felt a deep and rather ragged sigh well up from the innermost recesses of her being, as she thought of the home she would probably never see again in her lifetime, and she blinked away a sudden rush of moisture to her eyes as the picture of that quiet grave in the shade of the ancient yews floated before them. She felt tired, too, and completely deflated like a pricked balloon after long hours in a train, no lunch to speak of, and annoying anxiety concerning her future, which had travelled with her all the way from Herefordshire. It would take very little, she thought, to make her panic altogether, now that she had at last arrived in London. If only she dared remove her hat, which she had worn since morning, and which pressed upon the dark waves of her hair like a constricting bandage, she might feel a little happier. And a good hot cup of tea would certainly aid matters still further. And if only she could rid herself of her unaccustomed high-heeled shoes. She wriggled them off for a moment under the settee on which she was sitting, and then thought she heard a sound like a door opening and closing somewhere far off in the house, and hastily slid her feet into them again. But no one came near to disturb her, and she sat wondering how she would feel if she was a patient who had come here accompanied by all the doubts and anxieties occasioned by some ailment, concerning which she sought reassurance from Dr. Martin Gelder, instead of Stacy Brent, remarkably fit and suntanned, with even a healthy freckle or two on her nose, who sought a different kind of assistance from him. But what if he didn't even remember her father? The door behind her opened almost without a sound, and the receptionist who had interviewed her earlier stood smiling down upon her. "I'm so sorry you've been kept waiting," she said, "but Dr. Gelder has only just returned. Will you come this way?"
Stacy rose hastily onto her feet and her high-heeled shoes, and followed the slim form of the rather elegant young woman, who ordered Dr. Gelder's professional life for him and ensured the clockwork precision of his day-to-day routine. In a matter of moments, she was standing in front of Dr. Gelder himself, seated signing letters at a large walnut desk. He looked up as she entered in the wake of his secretary and regarded her with a certain slightly noticeable curiosity.